God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. And from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Home. There's no door like the one to your house. There's no better place to put your feet than in your recliner. There's no better cup of coffee than the one you drink from your mug. There's no meal like the one at your table. And there's no embrace like the one from your own family. Home. What thoughts and images come to our minds with the meditation of that one little word? We understand what J. Howard Payne meant when he wrote, "Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home." When Dorothy Gale clicked the ruby slippers together, she woke up in her own bed clutching her dog Toto and said, "There's no place like home." A German proverb says, "Blessed are the homesick, for they will reach home." When the prodigal son came to his senses, he thought of home. Or was it thoughts of home that brought him to his senses? Home. Bonnie and I, in 22 years of marriage, have lived at 22 different addresses as a married couple. And the last two, we've been there for 35 years, so that's a lot of shuffling on off of U-Hauls. As to childhood homes, I count two more, and she adds four. In college, before we were married, she had one address, and I had two. If you've been doing the addition, that's 31 homes. Let me tell you about two that are special to me. First, 117 Shenandoah Avenue in Laughlin, Maryland, where I grew up. The place where Mom and Dad taught me about God. The place where Kyle and I shared a bedroom and became best friends. The place where all the memories are happy. And second, 4214 Kapchat Street in Hepzibah, Georgia, where we lived with our children for 10 years. Although we no longer lived there, it was the first place that was uniquely ours. We were in rented housing before that, parsonages. But this first one was uniquely ours. The place where Bonnie and I taught our children about God. The place where Jennifer, Amy, Michael, and Matthew took refuge from the outside. The place where no matter what, there was always someone to tell you, "I love you." The place where all six of us last lived together. Home. That's what makes the promise at the end of the Beatitudes as we close this study so compelling. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. What is our reward? home. The book of Revelation could be entitled the book of homecoming, for in it we're given a picture of our heavenly home. John's descriptions of the future steal our breath. His depiction of the final battle is graphic. Good clashes with evil. The sacred encounters the sinful. The pages shriek with shrieks of dragons, and it smolders with the coals from fiery pits. But in the midst of that battlefield is a rose. John describes it in Revelation 21. Listen again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. It's like he can't write fast enough to tell us all these things. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down. What I tell you is trustworthy and true." John is old when he writes these words. His body is weary. Tradition says that one of the emperors of Rome boiled him in oil, not to kill him, but to torture him. And the journey has taken its toll. His friends are gone, scattered or dead. And as he hears the voice from the throne, I wonder, does he remember the day he heard it first on the mountaintop? It's the same John and the same Jesus. The same feet that followed Jesus up the mountain so long ago now stand to follow him again. The same eyes that watched the Nazarene teach on the summit watch for him again. The same ears that first heard Jesus describe the sacred delight listens to hear it again. And in the final mountaintop encounter, God pulls back the curtain and allows John to peek into the homeland. And when given the task of writing down what he sees, John chooses the most beautiful comparison earth has to offer. The holy city, he says, is like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. What is more beautiful than a bride? One of the side benefits of being a minister is that I have an early glimpse of the bride as she stands at the top of the aisle. Three brides here this morning that I've watched at the top of the aisle. One that I snuck a peek at and wasn't supposed to, as she stood at the top of the aisle. And I have to say, I have never seen an ugly bride. I've seen some grooms that could use an alteration or two, but never a bride. Maybe it's because her eyes are sparkling like the diamond that's on her left hand. Maybe it's because of the blush in her cheeks that reflects the love that she has for the man standing there at the altar. Whatever it is, there is the feeling that when you see a bride, you are seeing the purest beauty the world can boast. And when you read that our heavenly home is similar to a bride, tell me, does that make you want to go home? The world that I woke up to this morning could not be described as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Part of the world to which I woke up is grieving. A part of the world to which I awoke was disillusioned. A part of the world to which I awoke this morning was devastated. And when you look at this world stained by innocent blood and smudged with selfishness, doesn't it make you want to go home? Me too. The old saint says that when we get home, God Himself will wipe away all tears from our eyes. John says God Himself will wipe away all tears from our eyes. The same hands that stretch the heavens will caress our cheeks. The same hands that form the mountains will caress our face. The same hands that curled in agony as the Roman spikes tore into it will someday cup your face and brush away your tears forever. When you think of a world where there's no more reason to cry, doesn't that make you want to go home? There'll be no more death, John declares. Can you imagine it? A world with no hearses or morgues or cemeteries or tombstones. Can you imagine it? Such a world. If one of the joys of the ministry is a bride standing at the top of the church aisle, one of the griefs is standing with family when one has gone home. In the next world, John says, goodbye will never be spoken. Tell me, doesn't that make you want to go home? The most hopeful words of that passage from Revelation are God's resolve: I am making everything new. It's hard to see things growing old. When I graduated from Southern Garrett County Junior Senior High School in 1965, Loch Linn had 620 people living in the town. The 2010 census shows 552 residents. In 2020, the population was 493. Harvey and Reem's General Store is now Christian Crossing Thrift Store. Simmons Grange and Feed Store is now Napa Auto Parts. The B&O train station is Glass Unlimited. Loch Linn Elementary School, where Mom and Dad went to a two-room school, and Kyle and I went to a four-room school, or I went to four, he went to a six-room school, and the place where our kids and grandkids gathered to play on summer vacation is gone. It's now a park. And Loch Linn Restaurant is permanently closed. On May 8th, 2000, Kyle and I signed the papers which, for the first time in 75 years, transferred the ownership of 117 Shenandoah Avenue to someone not named Sisler. I was the last member of the family to walk through the house, and I went room by room one last time, then closed and locked the door and drove away without looking back. I wish I could make it all new again, but I can't. When you see how this world grows stooped and weary, and then read of a world, of a home, where everything is made new, tell me, doesn't that make you want to go home? What would you give in exchange for a home like that? Would you rather have a few possessions on earth rather than the heavenly possessions at home? Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." He must have smiled when he said that line. He should know it was his idea. It was his home. We'll be home soon. You may not have noticed it, but you're closer to home than ever before. Each moment is a step taken. Each breath is a page turned. Each day is a mile marked, a mountain climbed. You're closer to home than you've ever been. And before you know it, your appointed time will arrive, and you'll come and you'll enter the city, and you'll see faces of those who love you, and you'll hear your name spoken by those who love you. And perhaps standing right there in front of you will be the one who loved you more than his own life. who would rather die than live without you. And he'll spread his arms wide, and pierced hands will hug you and welcome you home. Home. And for our closing hymn, we sing "When We All Get to Heaven" that Eliza Hewitt wrote with deep anticipation for the joy of the eternal home that was waiting for her in heaven. And these words that Jesus said and John wrote in chapter 14 was her inspiration. "There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you I'm going to go and prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." Let's sing in celebration and anticipation, number 501, "When We All Get to Heaven."